Jewel, good afternoon. Can you hear us?
Hi.
Good afternoon. So nice to hear you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And how are you?
Oh, we're great, thanks. Today, Tumo, you're profiling King Langa Libalele of the Amahlubi.
Yes, we are talking about Langa Libalele, and his name is quite interesting. It means the hot boiling sun. Mm. And this name is said to attest to the drought that hit Amahlubi during the time when he was born. So they gave him this name, and the British could not pronounce this name, Langa Libalele. So they disrespectfully called him Long Belly. And King Langa Libalele of Amahlubi became the king of Amahlubi in 1836 after the death of his brother, King Dlomo, who was killed by Dingaan, the successor of Shaka Zulu, the founder of the Zulu nation. So 12 years later, after he had ascended the throne, there was another conflict between the two nations, Amahlubi and the Zulus. When Langa Libalele was summoned to attend a meeting that was called by King Mpanda, who was now in charge of the Zulu Empire and had ascended the throne after Dingaan. And King Langa Libalele refused to attend that meeting. And when he refused to attend that meeting, him and his people were actually forced to flee the territory across the Buffalo River into the Klip River territory, where the British had now occupied the area from 1840. And when the British occupied that area, the area actually fell under the British colony. And now they offered Langa Libalele, or they granted him a piece of land just between the town of Iscott and the Drakensberg Mountain. And they began using the Amahlubi as a buffer to protect the British cattle from the sand hunters that were living on top of the Drakensberg Mountains. And for the next 25 years, the Amahlubi people prospered. But this became a problem, and it became a threat for the British. So the magistrate at Iscott enforced a gun law requiring Amahlubi to register their guns, to which they had received as payment for working in the diamond mines around Kimberley. And they refused to register their weapons. And when they refused to do so, they were claiming that the gun law was in fact an effort, a deliberate effort by the British to disarm them. So when they refused to do so, Langa Libalele was summoned to appear before the magistrate to explain his people's conduct. And he then refused to attend that meeting as well. And that action was seen as a rebellion. So the aftermath of that was that a force was sent out. It was a greater force in number than, you know, even the number of the tribesmen of Amahlubi. But in battle, when the British attacked Amahlubi because of this, the Amahlubi were able to subdue them, and the British forces retreated. And this, after that, martial law was then declared in the entire British territory, and another force was sent out to hunt Langa Libalele, who at this point had fled into Lesotho. At the end, Chief Molapo, the son of King Moshweshwe, was forced to surrender King Langa Libalele so that he can avoid a war between himself and the British. And that is the story of King Langa Libalele. When he was arrested, when King Molapo surrendered him, he was then arrested. He was to be convicted in 1874 for life imprisonment, for treason, murder, and a rebellion. Life imprisonment on Robben Island. And I invite your people, your listeners, to come through, to come to Maropeng, and come and see and honor the statue of King Langa Libalele and all the leaders that we have at the Long March to Freedom. By saying that, that is the end for me. That is all from me today. We shall then speak again next week.
Thank you so much. That's Tumo Bopape, hitting us with knowledge once a week, this time on Wednesday, and today we were looking at King Langa Libalele.